It's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 50. That's where the promise is made. This promise is made to a man named Nathanael. Nathanael is impressed at Jesus seeing him under a fig tree. And Jesus says to him in verse 50 the following, "Verily, verily, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And in verse 51 he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Almost sounds kind of cryptic, doesn't it? Almost. But when we see what God has for us, folks, you just don't know the beginning of this promise until you hear this message. This is one that will make you get excited. It's the first promise made to Nathanael, and it's true for us. It began many, many years ago, and it's fulfilled for you and I. Do you want to know what God has in store for you? Do you want to know the promise that God said He's going to do for you? Do you want to know? Some of us do. Does anybody else want to know what God wants to do for you? Good. Good. I didn't want you to say no. Because if that's the case, you'd have to close your ears and your mind and your heart. This message should bless your heart in ways you never thought it could happen. It's fulfilled in John 11. But it begins back in Genesis. And after we ask the Lord for a blessing, we will indeed seek His Word and His way and His will. Al, would you bless this morning the message and also as you are led? Amen. Thank you. It is a man by the name of Jacob. We visited him a little bit last week, getting reconciled with Esau. This week we look at what happened before he ever got to his uncle Laban's house. And I know you know the story. It's an old story. An old hymn was made on it. And every now and then we sing this old hymn. But Jacob was on his way, away from his brother, running, and he was tired. And he laid at a place later called Bethel. And he laid there, and he was so tired he used a rock for a pillow. And he fell asleep. Maybe you remember that story. But he had a dream. And in the dream he saw a ladder extending from where? Heaven to earth. And what did he see on the ladder but angels ascending and descending upon it? And when he woke up the next morning, he said, "Surely this is the gate of heaven, and I did not know it. This is an awesome place, and God is an awesome God." That story, if you care to look at it later, is in Genesis 28. It is in verse 16 where he awakes and said, "God is in this place, and I did not know it." But this is what God tells Jacob when he sees that ladder. He says, "I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to your seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, and here's the promise, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now you say, wait a minute. How does that relate to the promise to Nathanael? Well, Nathanael, he tells Nathanael that he's going to see the Son of Man and angels of God descending up and down on the Son of Man. And here it says that this ladder has angels ascending up and down on it. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of this as a young boy, I thought there was a whole bunch of angels kind of floating up and down like this, not really going anywhere. I've come to understand that a lot differently since I understood that that ladder is the Son of Man. He saw Jesus. That's a pre-taste, if you will, of Jesus. He's in the Old Testament too. Yes, He is. You see, what I understand about a ladder, and maybe you all don't understand this, but a ladder's only good for people going up a whole bunch or a whole bunch going down. You can't have people going up and down the same ladder at the same time, can you? You get in the way, won't you? You tried it? You ever tried to go up a ladder while someone's coming down? There's just not enough room for two going different directions. It's a one-way street. Right? But this is plural. Angels ascending and descending. Now, how is that possible?
On either side of the ladder.
You thought, yeah, front and back, yeah, trying to wiggle it around so it would work that way. But I gotta tell you something.
I tried it already.
You tried, huh? A little bit too difficult. You don't know who's going to the back side. That's right. But anyway, what happens is we don't understand the ministry of angels too well until we look in Hebrews chapter 1. And it says, and this is where I began to see what this is all about. Y'all are beginning again to see how come this promise is so good and why it's the first promise. And this one does not require that you love others as God has loved you, but only that you believe. But in Hebrews 1, if you ever read this verse, listen to this. It says, but to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Here it is, last verse of Hebrews chapter 1. Are they not, that is the angels, all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who will be heirs of salvation? Sent forth. You understand what that means? It means they don't stay in one place. They go forward. And Jesus sends the angels to do ministry. So what's happening, if you get this vision now of Jacob, he's seeing an angel go up and in to heaven. Task done. Another one coming out. Task assigned. Going down and going out into the world. There's the traffic flow. Task done. Task assigned. He's seeing angels go in saying, I got the job done. I did what you said. And another one leaving saying, I'm going to do what God told me. I'm going to do what the Master told me. I'm going down, Jesus, out into the world to do the ministry. So you see there's a constant flow. One waits while one descends, and one waits while another ascends. One completes, one does. See how that works? Now listen, and if you have a little trouble with this, there are many, many angels. If you look throughout Scripture, there are numerous angels. And you have more than one. But you have one for sure that never turns its back on God and is always looking at the face of God. All day, all night, all your life. Jesus talks about that. We could talk about angels, but this isn't about angels, okay? This is about a promise. But we do have an angel before God that is always there in God's presence, never turns his back, and is listening to God the Father and whispering to a messenger angel something to do for you. Remember, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels and set him free, but he didn't do it. Legions of angels are at your beck and call if God says you need them. If you ever look in 1 Kings chapter 16, you'll see that Elijah helps his servant see the
those thousands and thousands of angels protecting him. It's an awesome story that happened in Dothan, Israel. Not Alabama. Dothan, Israel. That's how they defeated the Syrian king, by the angels. Thousands of them. Thousands and thousands surrounding Dothan, protecting Elijah. You ever take a look at that story? That'll bless you. You see, God has a purpose and a plan for you, and He's always trying to minister unto you. Maybe there comes a time in your life when all of a sudden something happens that seems kind of coincidental, and it just happened a certain way. Well, guess what? There's a ministering spirit, which is an angel, who set that up for you. God isn't running around doing all this stuff. He's sending His angels to do the work. There are different tasks of different beings in heaven, as you know. Jesus is our interceder. The angels do the footwork. Did you know that? Yeah, it's true. It's all through Scripture. You can see it. Very much so. And when you begin to understand the hierarchy, you can understand that God cares for you and knows you very intimately and knows you because He's got reports coming in all the time. Got messenger angels that send out and go down to where you are and report. And another one comes while that one leaves. So they can continuously update the Father on how you are. And they come through Jesus, so Jesus knows every last bit about what's going on in your life. That's wonderful, isn't it? It is wonderful. And I'll tell you, there's some stuff you'll never know about that God has protected you from with them. You'll never know about it. But He does. Things you could not bear, He stops. Scripture says He'll never give you more than you can bear. It's true. So Jesus tells Nathanael, in the future you will see this ministry happen, of these angels coming down and doing work. Well, I thought that would be really nice for him to see. He does, in John 11. Now you say, wait a minute, how is that possible? I don't remember an angel doing something in John 11. Well, it does. If you remember, in John 11, that is the death of Lazarus. And Lazarus has died, and Jesus says, we're going to him. And all the disciples think that they're going to die too. So they go with him. Jesus has conversations with Mary and Martha. And Martha has heard from Jesus the same promise that He gave to Nathanael. If you will believe, you will see great things. You will see the ministry of Jesus Christ in your life, if you believe. That's the simple promise. God will act in your life when you believe in Jesus Christ. He will act on your behalf. He says to Martha in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She says, yes, I believe. That's all that's required. He said, you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who come and saved you. And you will see him work in your life. That's a promise. That's a promise. Later in that same chapter, Jesus tells him to roll away the stone where Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And Martha says, Lord, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. And Jesus reiterates the promise he made to Nathanael, who's standing there, and Martha. And he says, did I not tell you that if you would believe, it's verse 40, you would see the glory of God? If you believe that God is who He said He was, that Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son, that the Holy Spirit is God's agent and His angels are ministering unto you, you will see His glory. It will happen in your life. It will happen to you and to people you know, and it will be unmistakable to you that that's God because nothing else can explain it. He promises you this. And all you have to do is believe that He is who He says He is and trust Him. Pretty simple, isn't it? Not a whole lot of work there. He even gives you the measure of faith with which to believe it. You just have to trust what you believe. About 25 years ago, Scott's, my nephew, was living in Secor, Illinois. He was a young boy, about 4. And his home, where his family lived, caught on fire. House was completely gutted by fire. Well, the insurance wanted to settle, but the bank called Scott's dad. His name is Ron. And Ron was really concerned because he thought that the bank wanted to get the insurance money to pay for the mortgage on the house and that he wouldn't have anything left to rebuild with. He was very concerned about that. And he had a conversation with my dad, and I overheard this later, what had happened in the conversation. And what he said was, "I'm really scared because I can't provide for my family. If they do that, I don't know what to do." And all that was said to him was, "Trust God. Believe that God cares for you and your family, and He will take care of you in ways you never thought possible. If you let Him do it, and believe He will." Well, a few days later, he called the bank and confirmed what he was fearing, and it wasn't what he feared. What they wanted to know was, could they help him refinance for a better home than he originally thought possible? The home he really wanted to build in the first place for his family. And they would help him with whatever they wanted. They just wanted to make sure that they were the lender of the new financing on the mortgage of the new place. Not only that, but the same day, his father had called, Scott's grandfather, and said, "We'll put you up in our house. We have an extra bedroom we happen to have up here. 2 bedrooms upstairs, 1 downstairs. You put the 2 kids and Ron and my sister in another, and you can stay here until you rebuild the house. You won't have to pay motel rent. You won't have to be more than 3 blocks from your home, and we'll help you build it the way you want it." And they did. And they rebuilt that home. And rebuild it just the way they had always wanted it to be. Even had a little enough extra to put a pool in the backyard for the kids. So they had everything they wanted. Plus, and it was about the same price as what they were paying for the old house. But what happened was, he was not sure that God loved him. But can you trust the possibility that maybe He does? You see, when we hear that, messages from our childhood in our earlier life say, "Well, I don't know who I can trust and who I cannot trust." Those ring inside our mind, in our head, and we're not sure who is reliable anymore. And what we find out, by the grace of God, is if we just believe, with the measure of a little bit, God will add to it. Yesterday morning, I had a conversation with a friend. Normally, I'm a therapist's counselor. Believe it or not, I have a friend who I conduct a counseling session with on the phone every week. Yesterday morning, we began to speak, and it was my turn. Apparently, I had an issue I didn't know what to do with, and I began to ask about it. And all she said was, "Have you ever heard of a man named James Bowlby?" And I said, "How do you spell that? How do you say that word?" She goes, "Apparently you don't know who this fella is." And she said, "He came up with this theory. And every person on this planet fits in one of these 3 or 4 categories. And I want to know which one you fit in, because you sound like you're having some issues here." And she told me. And she began to read the third one. And as she read the third one, I said, "You've been peeking in my life files? God has been whispering in your ear who I am?" And she said, "This is an issue dealing with infant issues that you never knew about. Your patterns for relating for people are set by the time you're a year old." And as I saw it, I saw myself and everything I ever related like in a few words. And it scared me. And when I saw it, I said, what do I do about it? She says, you're aware of it. Now you know your tendencies. What you like in relationships with God, with yourself, with your work. Now you can be aware and you can make a mature assessment of your life as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 13. When he said, I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child. Now I'm a man, and I must put away childish notions and act like a man. And as I saw that, I began to feel God's presence in the room yesterday. And I felt Him embrace me. And He said, you didn't know this was there, but I did. And despite your best efforts, I blessed you anyway. And despite your best efforts, I still brought the people into your life you needed there to bring you to where you are with me. Because you believed in me. And the very simple statement that he said, bless my heart, and he said, and I believed in you enough to bring you to this point. Believe it or not, God believes in you too. Otherwise, He wouldn't have given you a measure of faith. He wouldn't have given you a measure of hope. Then maybe what this is all about here in the Bible is true. Maybe if I stake my life on it, maybe God can. All God needs is a maybe that you're willing to, and He can add to that little bit. And if you let Him, you will see His majesty, His glory, and His power work in your life in greater and greater ways. Just let that little bit become trust. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, sometimes our eyes open and we see something about ourselves and we feel exposed. Doesn't feel good. It's scary because someone sees us, or we feel like you see us and we don't feel like we're complete anymore. But you've never left us, you've never forsaken us, and you already knew the thing which we're first now seeing. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would be gentle with us. Move us as we're ready. Prepare us as we can stand it. And into your presence let us fall. And may your everlasting arms be beneath us to catch us as we slip into your grace and into trusting you. From our high, lofty mountains of strength and self-assurance, jumping into your arms, that you would take us where we need to go, to the people who need to be in our lives, for the lessons and the teachers that we need to be more faithful to you. Heavenly Father, have your way with us. I ask you this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as a way of closing, what is our time here?
Page 21, Oh How He Loves You and Me.
Oh How He Loves You and Me is number 21. If you are interested in a little bit of Mr. Bowlby's work, that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And it's really very powerful stuff. And it will help you understand some things about yourself. You may not have ever known. You might feel a little exposed, so bring a blanket. bring something to cover up with. I tried to yesterday, and I was all alone in my living room. And I said, oh, this is not comfortable. But you know what? God says in Hebrews, and I have this verse for you to close with, and I think it'll touch your heart like it does me. He says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And if you trust Him to love you and expose His love to you in ways that will bless you, then being open and exposed before God is the most blessed place to be, because He receives you and loves you there. And oh, how He loves you and me. Number 21.
Shall we stand as we sing?